Our Heavenly Father, this morning we have come into your house to worship you. We pray now that you would help us that we might forget about yesterday and forget about tomorrow and focus on worshiping and praising you in these few moments that we have together. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Our opening hymn this morning is one that we don't sing very often. Number 522 in the Methodist hymnal, and the words will also be on the screen. Number 522, if you don't understand why we're singing this now, hopefully you will later. But the name of it is Leave It There. Bulletin, which I don't have here this morning. I'm going to need a spare one, please. Oh, we've got it on the screen. That'll work. Never mind. We have a litany for the fall season. This is the first Sunday of fall. Finally, I've been waiting for today to get here since back in March, but fall is here now, and our litany is for the first Sunday of fall. Join with me as we read together responsibly. O God, creator of all that is beautiful and good, we thank you for this and other season. We thank you for the anticipation of cool crispness in the air.
We thank you, praise you, the changes of autumn.
For the beautiful fall foliage.
For the splendor of the colors of the season.
For the abundance of the harvest.
For the miracle of the multiplying seed and in spring.
We thank you that the change we see in your creation
reminds us of opportunities you give for changes in our lives.
You provide a continual newness to all that is yours,
including us, your children, so undeserving, yet so richly blessed.
For those of us who have reached the autumn of our lives,
May the beauty of your fall season remind us
of the panorama of memories we have in family and friends.
And remind us we have a God who loves and cares.
Thank you for a new day.
Thank you for a new season.
Thank you for new opportunities to share your love and grace. In the beauty of this fall season, may we be faithful to your call and claim on our lives. As we prepare to go to prayer this morning, are there joys and concerns that you would like to share?
I know a lot of people in this church probably know Carly now, and she died. I don't know if any of them were on her road, but had a terrible nature.
Carlina Allen?
Well, Andy.
Okay. Remember her family, her and her family in your prayers. Also remember our grandchildren, Cheyenne and Chalmers. They're going through a difficult time and they need all the help they can get. Also be praying for Catherine and I as we travel this week. Our daughter Rebecca is being promoted to Chief Master Sergeant in the Air Force. And we'll be going down for that. Also, be praying for Scott Mason as he comes this coming Sunday to minister to you. Terry will be leading the service and Scott will be preaching. I realize this coming Sunday is Communion Sunday, but we will have to forego that this time. I'm sorry, but do be praying for them. Any other prayer requests? As we prepare to go to prayer this morning, our prayer course kind of says it all. It says, Jesus, I just want to thank you. Jesus, I just want to serve you. Or Jesus, I just want to praise you. Jesus, I just want to serve you.
Jesus, we just want to thank you. Jesus, we just want to thank you. Jesus, we just want to thank you. Thank you for being so good. Just want to praise you. Jesus, we just want to praise you. Jesus, we just want to praise you. Praise you for being so good.
Jesus, we just want to serve you. Sing with us.
Savior, we just want to serve you. Savior, we just want to serve you. Savior, we just want to serve you. Serve you for me.
Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we can gather today. Lord, we're not here because everything is good and wonderful and perfect in this world in which we live. But we're here because we serve a God who loves and cares for us, who promises that His grace will be sufficient for us in our weakness. We pray today, Lord, that you'd be with all of those who are going through times of trial and trouble and pain and suffering. We pray, Lord, that you'd be with each one of them. We're thankful, Lord, that you understand all of us, regardless of who we are and where we are, regardless of the language we speak or anything else. We pray this morning that you would reach out all around the world, be with all of those today who are going through difficult times. We pray today for our leaders. They need your guidance and your strength. They need to remember, Lord, that we are indeed one nation under God, and it's in God that we trust. Help them that they might focus, Lord, on you and on your will. We thank you, Lord, for all of those who are on the front lines. We thank you for all of our troops, Lord, all around the globe. We thank you for our police and for our fire department. We thank you for the doctors and nurses and EMTs and the hospital staff and all of the others, Lord, who have been serving so faithfully, and especially now with all that we're going through. Lord, you know the needs and burdens of each one of our hearts. We're thankful that your word tells us that we can cast every care upon you because you care for us. Lord, you care about our health. You care about our funding or lack of the same. You care, Lord, about our employment. You care about our pets. You care about whatever it is that stirs our heart. Help us that we might be faithful in placing it all in your hands. Help us that we might indeed leave it there. Thank you, Lord. Meet with us now in these moments together. We ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus, who taught us all to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We appreciate your faithfulness in giving. We remind you that the offering receptacles are at the front, the side door and the back door. Please remember them as you're going out. This time, the choir will share with you.
Thank you. Here is Psalm 69, verses 1, 2, 3, 14, 15, 29. Save me, O God, for the floodwaters are up to my neck. Deeper and deeper I sink into the mire. I can't find a foothold. I am in deep water, and the floods overwhelm me. I am exhausted from crying for help. My throat is parched. My eyes are swollen with weeping, waiting for my God to help me. Rescue me from the mud. Don't let me sink any deeper. Save me from those who hate me and pull me from these deep waters. Don't let the floods overwhelm me, or the deep waters swallow me, or the pit of death devour me. I am suffering and in pain. Rescue me, O God, by your saving power. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. I thought that I was going to make it through 2021 without making a mistake, but I made one yesterday. I went out and mowed, and if you got problems with grass and all that good stuff, don't go out and mow on Saturday if you've got to preach on Sunday. Oh my, what I've got is not contagious, it's just showing that I didn't show a whole lot of sense yesterday. Thought we'd talk this morning. You notice the sermon title is, My God, Why? Anybody here ever been tempted to ask God why? We've got about three people that have asked God why and four people that have trouble telling the truth, or more people. All right, but anyway, I think probably all of us have it one way or one time or another. And that's okay. It happens. Why in the world would a loving God, a God who cares, allow people to suffer? You ever wondered about that? People have raised this question ever since Adam and Eve left the Garden of Eden. Let me give you some examples of this that are anywhere from 2,000 to 3,000 years old. Psalm 22 was quoted by Jesus when he's on the cross in Matthew 27 and Mark 15. My God, why have you abandoned me? Psalm 42, 9, O God, my rock. We just sang about that down at Chevron this morning. O God, my rock, I cry, why have you forgotten me? Psalm 43, 2, for you are my God, my only safe haven. Why have you tossed me aside? Romans 3, why yet am I judged as a sinner? Why? There's so much going on today. So many people suffering so much. And as we look at it, I think we can discover some of the reasons why. First of all, let's look at an example. Let's look at a classic example of some innocent people suffering. Most of us here this morning are old enough to remember December 26, 2004. It was on that day that a powerful earthquake occurred, producing a tsunami that swept ashore in 12 countries in Southeast Asia. Almost 228,000 people lost their lives as a result of it. It was the third largest earthquake in recorded history and one of the worst disasters that humankind has seen. We've all seen pictures and heard accounts of the despair and destruction and death. Of course, when tragedies occur, fortunately, there are also stories of heroism that come out. A 34-year-old fireman from Scotland was in Asia on vacation. He saw the wall of water coming, and using beach towels, he tied his family to a palm tree 20 feet off the ground, saving their lives. Then there was a 47-year-old banker from Indonesia who survived the tsunami, and then, after it hit, he welcomed 230 of the refugees into his home, many of them children. Many of them were severely injured. With the help of his wife and five children, he fed them and cared for them. He told them, "You are my family now. Stay as long as you like." In Thailand, a young mother could not hold on to both her five-year-old and two-year-old sons. The current was strong. In an instant, the five-year-old was swept away from her. She was devastated. There was no way the boy could survive. But he did. Amidst all of the wreckage and debris, he found a door. And he held on to that door for 2 hours. Finally, he was found and reunited with his family. In Jakarta, a 26-year-old woman named Riza was trying to help two of her neighbors, 9-year-old twin girls. Riza was a good swimmer, and she did her best to keep herself and the two girls afloat. But she was losing strength rapidly. Well, it seems that at about that time, a python, almost as big as a telephone pole, swam by. Desperate situations call for desperate measures. So Riza and the two girls grabbed onto the snake. The python took them to higher ground where the water was only waist deep. They let go of the snake and climbed to safety. Now, these stories of survival inspire us, but we need to remember that in addition to the 228,000 who died, there were over 2 million who were displaced. When tragedy strikes, the question we all have is why? Why does God permit these things to happen in the first place? Why do innocent people suffer? Let me share three thoughts with you this morning. First of all, there is suffering because of a thing called free will. Free will is the freedom to choose. I hope I didn't mess this up. There we go. Free will is the freedom to choose our own way. And that can be our greatest blessing or our greatest problem. It has two dimensions. Sometimes we suffer because we choose badly. And sometimes we suffer because other people choose badly. When God made us, he didn't make us as helpless puppets dangling from a string. He made us free. He gave us free will. The freedom to make choices, and the truth of the matter is that sometimes we make wrong choices and we bring suffering on ourselves and on others. A man decided one night that he was going to beat a train to the crossing. And he almost did. He missed by only 1 second. But he missed. A teenager was dared to try drugs. So he did. And did. And did. And became an addict. He suffered, and his family and friends suffered too. A group of terrorists chose to crash planes into tall buildings. And as a result, thousands of people lost their lives. A group of men became resentful to a teacher from Nazareth. He was a threat to their way of life. So they nailed Jesus to a cross. Free will is our highest privilege and our greatest responsibility. A couple from Houston decided to go on vacation in Southeast Asia. During that same Christmas vacation in 2004, the day after Christmas, the wife wanted to go to the mountains. The husband wanted to go to the beach. They chose the beach. Then they had another choice, to continue sunbathing or to go shopping. They chose to go shopping. While they were shopping, they saw a young girl running up the street and she was screaming at the top of her lungs, "The sea is coming, the sea is coming." They had another choice. Do they believe the girl or do they go on shopping? Fortunately, they decided to believe the girl. They ran to their car and fortunately again, the car started. And they proceeded to try to outrun that wall of crashing water behind them. Kind of looked like a scene from an Indiana Jones movie. The water was coming and they were doing their best to stay ahead of it. How and what we choose is important. Much suffering in the world comes from bad choices. Bad choices we make, bad choices others make. Because of free will. We sometimes suffer because of free will, and yet free will, the freedom to choose, is one of God's greatest gifts to you and to me. But it does carry risk and danger and awesome responsibility. Second, we sometimes suffer because of what we do not know. We have all heard the expression, ignorance is bliss. But ignorance can be a setup for disaster. What we don't know can hurt us. We do things to others and to ourselves that cause suffering, and often we don't even know it. If we were to watch a movie made back in the 1940s, we would discover that most of the adults and some of the not-so-adults are smoking. Back then, they didn't have all of the information that we have today. Millions of people lost their lives from it. And there are those that are still affecting their life and their health. Sometimes we don't know and we don't care. Two men were talking one day, and one of them says, "Do you think it's ignorance or apathy?" The other one replied, "I don't know, and I don't care." Well, that pretty well sums it up. We live in an age of knowledge and communication. Yet, I wonder what future generations are going to think about us because of the things that we did because we didn't know and they brought suffering. That same day, that same tsunami, there was a girl on the beach with her parents. Suddenly the water started receding, going back into the ocean. Most of the people just stood there and watched. Golly! This little girl had been studying tsunamis in school. She ran to her parents and told them what was happening, and the parents ran up and down the beach screaming for the people to get to high ground. Hundreds of people were saved that day because of that little girl. Because she knew what was coming. On the other hand, the news channels showed a home video of another individual. He was standing at the edge of the water as it started going out, and he just stood there holding onto his surfboard watching. No clue of what was about to come. After that devastation in Sri Lanka, thousands of human bodies were found. but very few wild animals. People said they saw elephants and other wild animals headed for higher ground before the tsunami hit. But they didn't know what it meant. The animals sensed the danger and acted to survive. Maybe it's not the animals that are dumb after all. We sometimes suffer because of the misuse of free will, and sometimes it's because of what we don't know. Thirdly, we sometimes suffer because of natural laws. Jesus said, "The rain falls on the just and the unjust." The natural laws of the universe are dependable, they are unbending. Suppose our church was planning a really nice, really big, really elaborate outdoor celebration. We're inviting the whole community to come in, spend weeks and weeks and weeks preparing for it. As the day approached, the church starts praying, "Oh God, we're having this big fancy thing outside for everybody. Please don't let it rain. Let it be a bright sunny day." Whereas at the same time, within just a few miles of the church, dozens of farmers are going through a drought. They're praying, "Oh God, we need rain. Please send rain. Please let it rain." God's going to answer prayer for somebody. But we need to realize that sometimes it's not always what we pray for and what we want. There are other people that need something more. We never know. Let's talk about Hank for a minute. Hank was a farmer. He accepted everything as God's will. He said, "It's not for me to question the workings of God." All of his life, misfortune had been his lot. And yet, he never complained. His wife ran away with a hired hand. His daughter lived a lifestyle of which he did not approve. His son, for whatever reason, was lynched. A fire burned down his barn. A tornado demolished his house. Hail destroyed his crops. The bank foreclosed on his farm. At each stroke of misfortune, he would kneel and give thanks to God. Finally, he had to move to the poorhouse. One day, the overseer sent him out to plow a field. While he was out there plowing, a thunderstorm came up. A bolt of lightning flashed from the sky. It melted the plow. It burned off most of Hank's clothing. It singed his beard. It branded his back. And he ended up tangled up in a barbed wire fence. When he came to, he finally got loose from the barbed wire fence. He fell to his knees and raised his eyes toward heaven and said, "Lord, it's not for me to question your will or your workings. But this is getting plumb ridiculous." I think we've all been there at one time or another. Imagine with me this morning if Bill Gates and Billy Graham and Tom Martin climbed to the top of the steeple and all three jumped. I'm here to tell you this morning that because of one of the laws of nature, the law called gravity, it wouldn't matter how much money they had, it wouldn't matter how many people they preached to, it wouldn't matter how good they'd been all of their life, they would all suffer probably the same consequences. When certain conditions came together under the Indian Ocean, those consequences caused an undersea earthquake, which in turn caused a tsunami, which in turn smashed everything in its path. Consequently, good people and not so good people suffered. Natural laws give order to creation. They make medicine possible. They make engineering possible. They make farming possible. They make predicting the weather somewhat possible, probably other places more so than East Tennessee. They make scientific advancement possible. Because these conditions are dependable, someday somebody might figure it all out. And we'll be able to warn people when there's going to be an earthquake, when there's going to be a tsunami, when there's going to be a bad storm. These laws make progress possible. But they can also bring suffering and heartache and damage when we run head-on into them. You remember in Luke chapter 13, the disciples were talking to Jesus about when the Tower of Siloam fell and it killed 18 people. 18 people died that day. And the disciples said, why? Whose fault was it? Who sinned? In essence, Jesus' response was, it was nobody's fault. They were just in the wrong place at the wrong time. Sometimes we may be in the wrong place and we feel like the whole universe is falling on us. But often it's because the laws of the universe are dependable. Imagine if all of the laws of the universe were suddenly repealed. Semi-trailer might come flying through the air into the sanctuary. Planes would fall out of the sky. Planets would fly out of their orbits. The entire universe would be in terminal chaos. Despite the pain and the agony that natural laws might bring, we cannot live without them. Now, when bad things do happen, we've got three choices, folks. First of all, we can break down in self-pity. Most of us have heard about the 1938 broadcast that Orson Welles did about the War of the Worlds. You remember in this radio dramatization, he talked about aliens invading Earth and they had these rays that they were shooting and all these cities were being destroyed. Well, there are a lot of people that turned in late to the broadcast and didn't realize it was a dramatization. They thought it was a news broadcast. And thousands of people were literally going bonkers just here in the United States, not to mention other places in the world where they had radio. They thought the end was near. Billy Graham told about a woman in the same incident. She was listening to the broadcast and she was crying and she was screaming and she was just almost ready to totally lose it. Finally, later when the broadcast was over and they realized that it didn't really happen, somebody asked her why she got so emotional about it. She said, well, she said, my husband just bought me a new fur coat and I was afraid if they destroyed the world, I wouldn't have a chance to wear it. There are people with that kind of a mentality, folks. Not only can we break down in self-pity, we can break out with resentment. We all know people who are embittered by the misfortunes of life. They have become cold and cynical. They're always negative and critical. But fortunately, there's a third option there. Not only breaking down in self-pity, not only breaking out with resentment, we can break through and trust God. John Rippon wrote a song way back in 1787. You know it. It says, fear not, I am with thee, O be not dismayed, for I am thy God, I will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. When through the deep waters I call thee to go, the rivers of life shall not overflow, for I will be with thee thy trials to bless, and I'll sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. 1982, a rabbi by the name of Harold Kushner wrote a best-selling book that was entitled When Bad Things Happen to Good People. Now, this wasn't just some theology that he happened to come up with. He was writing out of his own grief experience at the loss of a young son, Aaron, to that rapid aging disease. You've seen children 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 look like they were 50, 60, 70, 80, 90. His son had that. Kushner felt a sense of unfairness and wondered, why would God do this to me? I'm a rabbi. Then an even more haunting question came, why would God do this to Aaron? Why does an innocent, happy, young boy have to suffer like that? As he lived through this nightmare, he struggled with his own faith. Finally, he realized that just maybe our suffering is not God's fault or God's will. You remember that the Jews of Jesus' day and earlier believed that if a person lived right, they would be blessed and have many children. I can understand them thinking that person might become rich. There have been some times when I wondered if having many children was a blessing. I've told my kids, I said, I wouldn't take $1 million for any one of you. But there have been times when I've given you away. You know what I'm talking about here. Well, they also believed that if a person didn't live right, that they would be poor and childless. They thought they could just look at a person and tell by how they looked and the kind of clothes they wore and that sort of thing, whether or not they were a religious person. We still tend to do that to some degree, don't we? God doesn't do cruel things to innocent children. Rabbi Kushner's son was diagnosed when he was 3 years old. And he died of old age 2 days after his 14th birthday. Out of that, Rabbi Kushner came to a new understanding of suffering. He knew that he couldn't blame that on God. He knew that God loved him and was suffering with him. He remembered that the psalmist did not say, my pain comes from the Lord. He didn't say, my tragedy and trials come from the Lord. No, the psalmist said, my help comes from the Lord. Rabbi Kushner came to the conclusion that how could God do this to me is the wrong question. The question was, God, how can you help me? In his suffering, Rabbi Kushner chose not to wallow in self-pity. He chose not to break out with resentment. Rather, he chose to break through and to trust God. So did Moses and Ruth and Job and Jesus, just to name a few. And so can I, so can we. Paul said, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Bill Gaither said, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives. Heavenly Father, this morning, we are all familiar with trials and troubles and problems. We all know what it's like to live in a world where things are less than perfect. We just pray now that you would help us, that we might dare in simple childlike faith in the midst of all of life that's happening around us to just reach up our hand and hold on to yours. Thank you, Lord. We thank you that you're telling us, as you told Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Help us, Lord, that we might dare to trust you. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Our closing hymn is another answer toward this situation. Number 525 in your hymnal, also on the screen here, it says, "We'll understand it better by and by." Okay? Paul said, "Now we see through a glass darkly, but then we'll see face to face. We'll understand it all." Number 525, let's stand together as we sing. As you leave this place, may you leave it full of the grace of God that's going to take you through life, even when life happens. Dare to trust Him now. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.